We're going to pray and just prepare our hearts, and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. I want to do that in what I say tonight, but I ask you to do that in hearing what God is saying to you. Father, I just thank you for your precious word, and I thank you, Lord, that the principles of your word give life. And I pray, Father, that tonight, as we hear the word of God, Lord, that we'll be set free. Lord, as that truth comes, Lord, that we're just going to see differently. Lord, we're going to be able to understand in a way that we haven't before. And Father, I just pray that you would take us to another level. Lord, that you would use us in a greater way than ever before. I ask for your help tonight, Lord, to say everything that you'd have me to, and only that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is leadership training, and I'm telling you, I teach on leadership because we need leaders. I believe we need godly leaders in our world. We need godly leaders in our community. We need godly leaders in the workplace. We need leaders in our homes. Amen. We need leaders in the church. I'm just telling you, there is a need for true leaders in our world today. It's, you know, leadership is all the rage. There are leadership conferences and seminars, all kinds of books on leadership. It's just amazing to me that if you go to a bookstore or somewhere where they have a book stand, you'll see books on leadership. They're just everywhere. It's just all the rage. And in the secular world, it's all about leadership today. But also in the church world, it seems like there's such a big push about leadership. In fact, there's a conference that Carmen and I like to go to every year. And, you know, we like the conference. We like the atmosphere. We like the teaching, and don't really give much thought to what the title or the name of the conference actually is, but it is a leadership conference. I'm just telling you, leadership is quite the thing today. It's all about expanding your leadership capacity, having greater influence. But I got to tell you, I think that to some degree, the church has taken on some worldly attitudes about leadership. And we need to be very careful that we hold to the principles, to the truths of God's word. I think it's troubling and discouraging for those who don't feel like they have a gift of leadership, for those who maybe don't think that they are a natural leader. And I know that in this room right now, there's some of you thinking, I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader. You're not talking to me. And I think that part of that feeling and that insecurity and that discouragement is from all of this talk about leadership and the way that it's presented a lot of the time. And so tonight's message is going to be really different from that. See, I'm telling you, it is not the brightest, most forceful personality. It's not the one who is a smooth talker and has a way with words and is the extreme extrovert and, you know, just has a gift for being able to communicate with people. I'm just telling you, that's not really what it's all about. And when you look in the scriptures, you don't find that. See, that's the way the world thinks. But Jesus says, learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Now that's who we want to learn from, right? Jesus is the greatest leader of all time. And so he's the one we want to learn from. He says, learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Here's a question, a rhetorical question we just need to ask ourselves tonight. Where is it that we want to lead people? We talk about leadership. We talk about leading people. Where is it that we want to lead people? As a believer, what is it that we are trying to accomplish through our leadership? Really simple answer. We want to lead people to Jesus. That's really it. I mean, we just want to lead people to Jesus. I know you can, you know, go into some other things and talk about organizational leadership and all kinds of other issues. But I mean, ultimately, for a believer, where is it that we want to take people? Why should anybody follow us? Where are we going to lead them to? And I'm just telling you, first and foremost, we ought to be leading people to Jesus. We want to see people come to know the Lord like we do. We want to see people serving God and experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promised. See, we want to see people being set free and living in victory and knowing the Lord the way we do. That's where we want to take people. That's where we want to lead people to. Now, like I said, if you're talking about organizational leadership, it might look a little bit different, but we need to keep the main thing, the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus. It really is all about him. And I'm just telling you, as a believer, when we say everybody can lead somebody, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking people closer to Jesus. In fact, I got to say, if you're not taking people closer to Jesus, you're the wrong kind of leader. We don't need that kind of leadership in our world. We need leaders that'll help people find Jesus, leaders that'll help people experience the Lord and get closer to God. If we're not leading people that direction, we're leading the wrong direction. Jesus is the greatest leader in history. He changed the world. That's why this is called 2015. It is the 2015th year of our Lord. Some of you heard me tell this story before, but it's just crazy how messed up our world is and how a lot of believers are messed up. My daughter in high school writes a paper. They tell them you can write a paper about any person you want to that you think is influential in history. Whoever you think is the most influential person in history. You can write about Hitler. You can write about anybody you want to. She wrote about Jesus. Teacher gave her a C. It wasn't one grammatical error. It's an English paper, by the way. It wasn't one grammatical error. No problem with any of the writing. She just didn't like it that she said Jesus was the most influential person. She said Paul was more influential than Jesus. And she said, but Muhammad is way more influential than Jesus. Now, just keep in mind, this is the same teacher said you could write about Hitler if you want to. You write about anybody. And by the way, after that, she decreed from then on in her classes you could write about anybody except Jesus. And here's where it gets crazy. She was a Christian. By the way, there are about 1 billion Muslims in the world today. I'm not saying they're all living for God. I'm not saying they're all born again serving God. But I'm telling you, there are 2 billion people that claim the name of Christ, that claim to be Christians. Jesus, the most influential person in history, and for 2,000 years, he becomes more and more and more influential. He is building his church, and the very gates of hell can't stop it. You want to talk about leadership? You look to Jesus. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Well, he's getting it done. So we could learn a lot about leadership from Jesus. And we need to quit listening to the world and what they have to say about leadership. There's too much of this. Let's take some principles from the world and see if we can find a scripture that we can attach to it. Well, let's just look to Jesus instead. He started with 12, and one of those was lost. But the Bible says they turned the world upside down. Can you imagine these rascals, stinky fishermen? What do they know about leadership? They haven't even been to college. Fishermen and tax collectors. Well, they're the scum of the earth, the worst of the worst. I mean, they put tax collectors in the same sentence with prostitutes. How is he going to change the world? Well, he's got these 12 guys. And when he called them, he didn't say, I need some leaders. How many of you would like to be leaders? Anybody want to be a leader? No, he said two words to them. He said, follow me. That's it. Follow me. You want to be a great leader? Jesus says, follow me. We need to get this. To be a great leader, we have to be a great follower. You go to the bookstore, as I said, you see all these books on leadership. But you'll generally see none on followership. I had to check on Amazon today, and there actually is some books on followership. I was amazed. There was like four or five of them. Followership. I didn't know there was such a thing. But for every one book on followership, there's got to be 100,000 on leadership. Everybody's talking about leadership. Well, here's the key to being a real leader. I'm talking about the kind of leaders we need today in our world. It's being a follower, being a true follower of Jesus Christ. That's what made those 12 so world-changing. They turned the world upside down. There were the 11 that Jesus spent time with those 3 years, and then the Apostle Paul, whom he spent time with by revelation, but you just need to understand that he started with these 12 guys and he turned the world upside down. Here it is in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:1. In the King James Version, it says it this way, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In the New King James, it says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. So you might be thinking, I'm not a leader. Who am I to say to anybody, hey, you should follow me, or that I could lead somebody, help somebody else? Let me tell you who you are. If you are a follower of Christ, then you can lead somebody else. You see, like the Apostle Paul, if you're truly following Jesus, then you really can help somebody else get closer to God. You really can show somebody else the way. And it's not a matter of how bright or how forceful your personality is or how good you are at talking. It's whether or not you are truly following Jesus. Follow me as I follow the Lord. The only way we should really be leading anybody else is if we're truly following Jesus ourselves. You can't lead others where you're not going. It's not personality. It's not gifting. It's where you're leading. And if you're following Jesus, then you can lead others to Him. If you're walking in a close walk, a close relationship with Jesus, you see, you can show others the way, how to have that relationship, a more intimate relationship with Jesus. See, in America today, and especially here in the Bible Belt, there's a whole lot of people out there, like a certain teacher in Whitesboro, Texas, that gave my daughter a C. I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of people out there who know Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They don't really have a relationship with Jesus. They need a believer, a real believer. They need somebody who's walking with the Lord to show them what it means to really have a relationship with the Lord. Jesus had 12 that he turned into leaders. How'd he do it? He made them followers. So let's just consider Jesus as our example in leadership. We need to realize that just like the disciples, we first have to be followers. So how did he make disciples? And tonight, we could talk about this for weeks. I'm not going to do an in-depth teaching tonight on discipleship, but I'm just going to hit the highlights and just talk about the basics. First of all, he was with them. For 3 years, he was with these guys night and day. He was with them all the time. I mean, they were learning a way of life from Jesus, and so they lived with him. For 3 years, they were with him. And as I said, the Apostle Paul got it by revelation, but he had a very intimate encounter with the Lord. And I want to tell you that we ourselves have to be with Jesus. See, we can't take other people there if we haven't been there. If you're going to lead people there, you have to have been there yourself. It's amazing, after the resurrection, Peter and John were ministering, were preaching the gospel, and the religious leaders said, "These men have been with Jesus. People need to know we've been with Jesus." There's enough religion in this world, and I'm talking about even in the name of Christ. There's enough of that. What people need to see is that we have a real relationship with Jesus. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, first and foremost, you got to be with him. You got to spend time with him. You got to develop a real personal relationship with him. And then you can say to others, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." In John 15, Jesus makes it so clear how important our relationship with him is, and how much key it is to our fruitfulness, our effectiveness, to us being able to have influence and impact in this world. Listen, it's John 15:5, he says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Listen, it don't matter how bright your personality, how much education you have, none of that matters. Oh, now wait a minute, Pastor. I'm telling you what really matters. You can have all the strength and wisdom of man, and apart from him, you can do nothing. But when you abide in the vine, when you spend time with him, that's where the power comes from. That's where the anointing comes from. That's where that life-changing power comes from. He says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Oh, that's what we want. We want to have a real impact on the lives of other people and see them come closer to God and see them enjoy the blessings of God that we have. How's that happen? I tell you, it's got to happen because we first have been with Jesus. Apart from him, you can push and pull and manipulate people, but I'm telling you, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what leadership techniques have been used. It is our relationship with Jesus that makes the difference. Second, he taught them. You know, Jesus taught the disciples every day. And there were times like the Sermon on the Mount when he got up and he taught for an extended time. But that's not really all I'm talking about. I want you to understand that Jesus was teaching the disciples every day, all day. He was teaching. He was instructing them about life. Let me just give you an example. Matthew 20, 24 through 26. And this is, I think, kind of a pertinent example tonight, but Jesus says, it goes like this. James and John are wanting to be considered to be right hand and left hand. I mean, they want to be up there at the top. They want to be the leaders, right? And so when the 12, or the other 10, excuse me, heard about it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers, but Jesus called them to himself. And he's going to teach. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And let me just teach for just a minute. See, in this world, there are people that have authority over others to tell them what to do. And I want you to understand, that's not all evil. You need to understand this, that if you serve in the military, you better do what you're told to do. And how many of you parents expect your children to do what they're told to do, right? You see, and when in this world, authority is exercised that way. You tell them what to do and they're expected to do it. But in the kingdom, it doesn't work that way. You see, in the kingdom, we serve by our choice. And I just got to throw in a little something here about us wanting to be leaders and help other people find a closer walk with the Lord. I got to tell you, nobody's going to do it just because you told them to. They got to decide they want to. By the way, for you parents, I want to tell you, you need to make your kids go to church. But you know, sooner or later, there's going to come a day they have to decide for themselves that they want to serve God. And let me tell you something. You see, no matter how hard you try, you can't make them, but you can lead them. And I'm just telling you, in this world, there's a lot of Christians acting like the world, trying to beat people over the head and make them serve God. Won't work. Make yourself a servant instead. Lead by serving. Lead like Jesus did. But Jesus taught them all the time. He was constantly teaching them the principles of the kingdom, how to live real life stuff. John 8:31, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So you want to be a true follower of Jesus? You want to be a true disciple of the Lord? You got to stay in his word. And I'm just telling you that just like the disciples, they had to be learning and growing and being taught. As we follow the Lord, we got to be learning and growing, being taught all the time. And you know, the Lord can use other people. to teach you and help you along the way. But you need to understand this, though. It's so important that we are always learning and growing. Let me tell you something. You see, you want to teach other people? You want to help other people? You can't teach what you don't know. So you need to be learning, always sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word like Mary, hearing his word. How people need that. I'm just telling you that there's so many people in this world, they need somebody who will lovingly teach and show them the way. But we can't do that if we're not being taught. Third, he showed them by example. He teaches us by example. He never asks us to do anything that he hasn't done. And we need to always look to Jesus as our example in the scriptures. Even in the here and now, Jesus uses brothers and sisters in the Lord many times as an example. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And if we look at those who are truly following the Lord, they can be an example to us of Jesus. In John 13:15, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And Jesus models for us what it is to forgive, models for us what it is to love, what it is to be kind to those that don't deserve it. He models it for us. He models compassion, mercy. You know, we always say, you can't tell your children, do as I say, not as I do. It just won't work. You have to model it for them. You have to be the right example. And I'm not going to turn this into a teaching on parenting tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, a lot of kids learn that Jesus is not that important by what their parents do. Now, you're here on Wednesday night, and that says a lot. And I realize it's more the Sunday morning crowd that probably needs to hear that. But I'm just telling you, from my work as a pastor and youth pastor for over 30 years, I see it over and over and over and over again. The reason that teenagers quit going to church when they get out of high school most often is because mom and dad have taught them it's really kind of an optional thing. You got to lead by example. You can't take them any further than where you are. And that goes for your kids, but it goes for your friends, your coworkers. Now, somebody else might take them on further, but you can't lead somebody any further than where you are. Jesus says in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You see, the disciple can't ever go further than the one that's doing the discipling. But when you've been perfectly trained, then you're like the master. Let me just explain it this way. Do you know I can play 4 chords on a guitar? I can teach you 4 chords. I can show you how to play Amazing Grace and maybe a couple of others. And that's as far as I can take you. If you want to go further, you're going to have to talk to Josh or Jonathan or somebody else, but that's as far as I can take you. I got to tell you, church, we need to be an example. We need to be ready to take people a little further in their faith. We can do that. It's not about personality. It's not something that you don't have. It's not some weird gifting. Listen, it's about following Jesus. You can take them there. See, we focus on all these outside things. I'm just telling you, what really matters is a relationship with Jesus. How are you doing with Jesus? And if we are truly following Jesus ourselves, then we can lead people. You got to do it by example. You reproduce what you are. You don't reproduce what you teach. When it's all said and done, you reproduce what you are. Boy, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Fourth, he sent them out. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I got to tell you that disciples are commanded to make disciples. If you are truly following Jesus, you can't say, "Well, you know what? That's for the preacher. That's for those, you know, those real spiritual people." No, that's for anybody that's a true follower of Jesus. We have a responsibility to lead others, to disciple others, to help others along their way, to lead others to a personal relationship with Jesus. Listen, we follow him, then we can lead others so that they can lead others to follow him. And that's how he's been doing it for 2,000 years. We follow him, and as we do, we lead others to follow him, and they lead others to follow him. That's how he's been doing it for 2,000 years. It's been working, church. There are people in your life right now, listen to me, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, acquaintances. There are people in your life right now that you need to say, and I don't mean necessarily verbally actually say the words, but I'm saying with your life, you need to be saying, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." You need to be helping those people come into a real relationship with Jesus. You need to be inviting those people to church. You need, listen, how'd Jesus do it? You need to spend time with them. I got to tell you something. You can't help somebody you're not willing to spend time with. You need to spend some time with them. You need to teach them. I'm not talking about preaching a bunch of throwing scripture at them, but I am talking about that you lovingly explain to them and help them understand. You show them the way. And yes, you use the scripture, but it's not just throwing scriptures out there. No, you need to lovingly teach and instruct and help them. And you need to show them. You need to model it for them. And then as they grow and they're coming to know the Lord, you need to challenge them as Jesus did his disciples. Freely you've received, now freely give. You need to get them involved in ministry. Get them reaching out to their loved ones and their acquaintances and their friends. Church, that's what real leadership is. Real leadership. It's followership. Just follow Jesus. He'll make a great leader out of you. Amen. The kind of leader that will change somebody's life for eternity. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you that the principles of your word are always true. They are unchanging. And I pray tonight, Father, that every person in this room tonight would just be encouraged and strengthened, Lord, in their faith that they truly can make a difference and help other people as they follow the Lord. Oh, Father, that you will empower them and use them. Jesus, you said, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore. You have authorized us. You have empowered us. And you're with us to get the job done. I thank you for it, Lord. And I just pray, Father, as we go from this place, Lord, that we will go as a people on a mission to help others along their way. I thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight as we dismiss, I want to just give you the opportunity, if you need prayer, be glad to pray with you, or others, other prayer partners will be here as well. But I know some of you, in your heart tonight, you're saying, I want to do that. I want to truly follow the Lord. I want to make a difference. And if you just need special prayer tonight, in fact, if you need prayer about anything, of course, we'd be glad to pray with you. But as you go, go knowing this, as you follow the Lord, others are going to be able to follow you. Amen. Lord bless you.